Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. I will tell you today's program, I've been keeping my powder dry the last couple weeks here, and today I think it's just time to fire off some rounds. I have some things. It doesn't matter what you do for a living, you're going to have to hear parts of this program that may well relate to how you go about doing business going forward. And I'm going to use one particular example. We have some realtors that listen to this program. And this may shock you, but it's true. And we're going to get to that towards the latter part of the program. But I want to start with news that just came out here, because I'm actually recording this a couple of days ahead of airtime. I am traveling for the balance of this week. And I can't do these programs on the road. It does not work well for me. I need my library and my sources and all of that stuff. So it was just announced here, 5 minutes before I went on the air, that Christopher Ray has resigned. Now, I know we were going to start this program with good news, try to end with good news. Today might be an exception. And Christopher Ray says, you know what, I'm not going to hang around until I get fired, so I'm just going to quit. Is that what you do? Do you just quit because you're afraid you're going to get your head handed to you on a plate like John the Baptist? John the Baptist was good. Christopher Ray's bad. Guess what's going to happen down line, though? How many people are going to want Chrissy Baby's job in the meantime? Because they think their head's going to be on the chopping block. How does this reverberate down? I've heard that there's a bunch of FBI agents that are taking early retirement. Then get out of Washington, you slugs. You're part of the problem. You're part of the left. You're part of the Democrat organization or regime that has run this country for the last 4 years, but actually longer than that, because we got to go back to Obama. And all the preemptive pardons they're talking about. You know, if Christopher Ray had done an honest job, Christopher Ray had done a good job, done a meritorious job, if he was there because of a meritocracy, why does he have to cut and run? Why does he have to get out of Dodge before he gets nailed? Why do we need all the preemptive pardons? Isn't everybody admitting that they're evil, they're bad, they screwed up, and they're no good, and they hate this country? Isn't that what Christopher Ray's resignation and all the others that are going to resign? Isn't that what they're admitting? Why would you have a preemptive pardon? If people have done well, they've done good job, they've done fine, they're honest, they're moral, then why do you have to pardon people who've done nothing wrong? See, the left doesn't even know what they're admitting to. But because they still basically control the media, they can escape with this. You see, this is these are part of the hard things that we are going to be dealing with here, particularly in the short run. I talked with a gentleman the other day in another state. I asked him, tell me, what is happening? Happened to be in the state of Kansas. Didn't really matter what state, but I said, are the people there, is there a sense of optimism? Is there a buoyant optimism? Because I hear that some places. And he said, yes, but it's cautious. He said exactly what I feel, but I wanted to hear him say it, and I agreed with him 100%. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And how much better it gets, we don't know. We've done all we can do in the electoral process. Now we're down to more prayer, getting our hands dirty in politics. Yes, maybe it's a dirty business, but somebody's got to do it. And if we don't, the left will. Nature abhors a vacuum. And the left is all too ready to occupy a vacuum. My sense is, and this is it. This week has just been kind of a shake up and a wake up for me. I've been kind of going along with, things are, gosh, I love this optimism. And I do love the optimism. But I'm so sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of reading. I quit reading articles talking about the left is dead, woke is dead, DEI is history. It is history only until we forget about it and they bring it back in. And the left is not backing down, particularly in one area, and I'm talking about the world of queerdom. And we're going to touch on that. The queerdom and the tranny world is just getting more malevolent. It's owned by Satan. I've had a couple of people say, do you think Satan's queer? Well, I don't know. Probably, I don't know how that works in the spirit world. I really don't. But I know that the spirit of the evil one certainly animates those who support queerdom, abortion, incest, bestiality, go right on down the line, all the sexual sins are an influence from our enemy. So, with that in mind, goodbye, Christopher. Don't let the screen door slap you on the fanny on the way out. Hopefully we can find something to drag your fanny, though, back into court and make you pay for the crimes that you've committed, the job you didn't do that you were sworn to do to uphold the Constitution and against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, and all those things that they take an oath to, and they couldn't care less about it. Well, it does matter who you appoint. And, of course, Trump got taken in by the FBI. He got taken in by a bunch of people. He was kind of a sap, if I can say that, in the sense of what he just assumed that people who were nice to him identified with him, not realizing that people who were nice to him simply wanted to be inside his cover so that they could do their dirty work and stop and thwart and obstruct everything that he wanted to do. Obviously, he's a lot wiser now, but we have a few people I'm concerned about. I'll get to Mike Johnson in a minute. But I want to touch on this concept of you aren't any better than the people you surround yourself with. Because Trump, if he doesn't appoint good people, is not a good president. He's got to, and that's what's different this time. Is he perfect? No, of course not. But the real value of his presidency, both first and second term, is in who he appoints. So where did he go wrong in the first term? I don't want to go down to the people that turned out to be slugs and essentially anti-American, contrary to the Republican, and I mean as a republic, not as a party, the Republican ideals upon which this country is established. But he did make some good appointments. So if his defining characteristic as to good appointments in the first term, it has to deal with, of course, the Supreme Court. He nailed it. He's got three judges as good as any are out there. They're not perfect, but my goodness, they got to be pretty doggone good if the left wants to stack the court, if the left wants to put protesters outside the homes of some of the justices after the abortion ruling and the DOJ doesn't even come in and stop it, realizing that it's against the law, but they don't care about the law because they're the Department of Injustice. I'm not convinced Christopher Wray would recognize a constitution in a law library. That was term one. But he made some good appointments. The bad appointments were in the cabinet areas. The good appointments were in the judicial areas. So apparently he had good advisors dealing with the advice as to particular judges. Now this term, I think he gets that. He knows who he will need to appoint. And maybe this is a time, while you've got a Senate majority, that maybe one of the older ones, Clarence Thomas, and maybe they need to turn it over. Maybe this is their exit opportunity to then be replaced by somebody equally as good. And Clarence Thomas is my favorite judge on the Supreme Court. Nobody gets it right, in my opinion, sometimes not so humble opinion, but nobody gets it more right than Clarence Thomas. Right down to the fact that he was the only justice the other day who wanted to take up a Second Amendment case out of Hawaii, where the Hawaii Supreme Court said this was their decision. Well, in Hawaii, I live by the spirit of aloha, and we just don't go with the Supreme Court rulings that they've set out as far as the right to keep and bear arms. Well, screw the spirit of aloha. I'll tell you, it doesn't mean jack if you're not following the law. I mean, isn't Hawaii the one state that's actually more left than California? I mean, goodness sakes. So they won't follow the law, and the case goes to the Supreme Court, and they have to determine whether they should hear it. It's a clear violation of recent, clear direction and interpretation of the Second Amendment. Eight justices decided not to take the case. Clarence Thomas was the lone dissenter. Yep, we need to take this. They're just sticking it in our face. They might as well just say, Supreme Court of the U.S., go to hell. We're not following you. We got the spirit of aloha. You know, it just sort of makes me skip Hawaii and go to the Fiji Islands or the Cook Islands or some other place. If I want that kind of a vacation, or I could just go to Florida. Well, this second term, well, Trump is going to make a judicial appointments, maybe at the very top, but certainly at intermediate levels and lower levels. And I hope and trust that he'll be guided as he was before. That's the good part of his previous term, that part will carry over. The part I hope will not carry over are the administrative appointments, which were pretty screwed up. But I think he's learned from that. We don't need to go down through all of the appointments again. But just the fact that we have this Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy Department of Government Efficiency, I guess called DOGE, that is fabulous. Now, how could it go sideways? I'll tell you how it could go sideways, is that when you have people, now I have liked Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, but he's talking about the panel on DOGE and so forth. It needs to be bipartisan. We need to have Democrats participating in the Department of Government Efficiency. Why, Michael? Why? Why invite Democrats into an organizational cabinet level? It's kind of a cabinet. It's not really officially a cabinet position, but why invite them into this construct called the Department of Government Efficiency when those are the very ones who have for years supported government inefficiency? What? Why invite the fox into the henhouse, or foxes plural? They're in the screw up. What you're saying, Michael, is, you know what? We will not have a really, truly good and balanced Department of Government Efficiency unless we include some of the people who are associated with the deep state. This is one of the most knucklehead things he has said. I like him. He's a Christian man, but that doesn't mean he gets it right. And on this one, I can't even describe to you how wrong Mike Johnson is. I mean, just, if you look at how messed up some of Trump's appointments were, but then go back before that, look at Obama. Oh my gosh, he was awful. And he surrounded himself with people who are awful and more awful. I have always said he picked Joe Biden because he needed somebody that bad in order for Obama to look good. He's got to be the kingpin. He's got to be the grand poobah, so that everybody else looks like a munchkin relative to, because he's got a narcissism and a thin skin that demands that everybody bow down and kiss his feet and surround himself with inferior people. Guess what? all these areas of transportation and agriculture and all these other cabinet level positions, why were only 9% of Obama's cabinet appointees from business? When the very areas, with the exclusion of defense and some things, why were these very areas deal with business? No. What did he pick? 91% of them were government hacks, government lackeys, Democrats on the dole. That's what he picked. And that's what Biden picked. That's why the best line in the Trump-Biden debate, there were a lot of them, was simple. When Trump turned to Biden, he said, "That's the problem with you, Joe. You don't ever fire anybody." They think Trump is too harsh. Well, hey, if you're lazy, you're fired. If you're incompetent, you're fired. If you're crooked, you're fired. He said, "You never fired anybody." Well, there's Mayorkas, go right on down the line. You don't fire anybody. You just keep them around. All these incompetents. Well, that's because they're doing the bidding of the leftist deep state. You see, good people are surrounded usually, I'm sorry, good people will appoint good people usually. Usually. Bad people will appoint bad people always. Speaking of Mayorkas, he's just one of those examples. So what does he do? This guy should be tried for treason, and if he's convicted with a fair trial, you know what the punishment is for treason, and it should be shown on TV. So he is promising a jobs giveaway for newly arrived migrants. He's giving away jobs. Where do they get this money? There's something I don't understand here. How do they get to spend money that Congress hasn't budgeted? How does Biden just earlier today come out and say, "We're going to get $20 billion off to Ukraine before Trump comes in"? Well, when Trump comes in, all he's got to say to Zelensky is, "Too bad, so sad, Chuck." That's not Chuck, but pal, whatever. I'm using that kind of euphemistically. "You've already spent your allowance, Zelensky. You got more than you deserve for an allowance. And you've already spent it. No more. No more." But Mayorkas comes up with, I don't know where he comes up with millions to give these jobs and things away that cement these illegals in the country for 540 days. Andrei Mayorkas, you're an enemy of the people, an enemy of the republic. You are a domestic enemy. Boy. The left, that's what I'm going to say. You think it's going to get better? I'll tell you what's coming. If you thought that this is over, it's not over. It's actually ramping up. I mean, you got this Democrat lawyer, Mark Elias, who I want to read here, just going to from, what's my source here? Hardball. That's what it is. Quote, "But instead of accepting their losses, Mark Elias, the Democrat hardball lawyer, this is from World Net Daily. I got it confused. Elias is disputing the presidential and senatorial results in Pennsylvania, leading to charges that Elias, now who calls the self-advertised, self-appointed democracy defender, even though he's the one that accused Donald Trump of being an election denier." This is the left, though. Hypocritical. Hypocritical in all caps. They aren't progressives, they're regressives. They're going backwards in the development of civilization. Well, it didn't go his way, so he's really ticked off. It says here, Elias is unrepentant. He remains defiant. Not only is he shaking off the criticism, but he's vowing to fight Trump and Republicans even harder in court in 2026 and 2028. End quote. So what he's saying is, you think the lawfare against Trump was something? Well, it was. And all the bogus legal cases, absolutely lawfare, but keep in mind, they were all against Trump. Just Trump. What Elias and the Democrats are planning and are announcing, that it's a, the fight is on, not against Trump, but against all Republicans and anything they do, and it's in court in 2026 and 2028. You see, what we thought was over was just the beginning. They're announcing lawfare like you have not ever seen before. And in his own words, Elias says that we will employ yet more ruthless tactics to do three things. One, stop Trump. Two, stop Republicans. Three, stop the MAGA agenda. They're not doubling down, they're tripling down. Elias believes he's going to get favorable rulings. Why? Because more than one half of all federal judges were appointed by Democrat presidents. And many state courts are controlled by liberals. So he's confident that they can go after all of us in anything. It's a broad-based attack. He's confident because they've got Democrat judges and leftists at the federal and the state level. He's confident because they have the whores running the brothel. And he says, quote, "The judiciary is our best hope we have to stop Trump from running through American democracy." I don't know what running, that's his quote, running through it. The fact of the matter is, Elias, the Democrats are the election deniers. And trust me, we will be back to a point where we will be looking at the prospect of secession. Now, we are going to get into what I mentioned here at the beginning of the program, that just how bad is the left when it comes to something that is still moving forward full steam. Now, people think that the woke is dead, the left is dead, the DEI, it's not. The companies that pushed it are pulling it out because it hurt their bottom line. But do you think that they're done? No, they're just going off to the sidelines. It's like they're pulling over into a rest stop and see what's next before they get back on the highway to hell. And so we are going to see actually more evil attempted to be forced upon us, largely and primarily by the one group that has remained somehow free from being targeted, if you will, by conservatives, and that is the queer sphere. The queers. The LGBT, QRC, UVW, XYZ, IIAA++, crowd of degenerates and debauched sexuality, all done and advocated so as to help them feel better about their sins. It's not slowing down. The degree to which this occurs will be part of a larger thing which Christians will be responsible at fault for basically everything. Christians will be targeted. It's almost going to not matter what it is. And why? Because Christians will be the ones that will be deemed to have put Donald Trump in office, and therefore, or thereby, we are participants. We are the ones that have aided and abetted this horrific crime of participating in democracy and electing a president who actually won not only the Electoral College, but the popular vote as well. In other words, the election deniers all along, which started with Hillary in 2016, are actively at work. But now the revenge is going to be more broader based. Put this way, they went after Donald Trump with a rifle, a targeted kind of a shot, obviously literally in the assassination attempts, and figuratively in the lawfare cases. He was the one who was the defendant in all of them. But now that they've lost and Trump is in office, they're not going to come after us with a rifle. They're going to come after us with a shotgun. A shotgun is how you scatter the buckshot, and you can hit, depending on how close you are and what you're aiming at, multiple targets at once. A bullet only takes out one person. Shotgun can have multiple targets. And this is what they are going to do. And Elias has acknowledged it. He's proclaiming it. We are going to employ yet more ruthless tactics to stop Trump, stop Republicans. See, it just broadened, didn't it? And stop the MAGA agenda. So he keeps broadening the target range. Trump, an individual, Republicans, a party, and anybody who supports the MAGA agenda. And there are some out there that don't identify as Republicans that support the MAGA agenda. And there's some of them are independents. Some are libertarians. They're all in the crosshairs of the left because we have all been deemed responsible for putting this man in office. Wow. And I'm going to give you one example of the type of revenge, the breadth of hatred against anybody who participated in this election, in the election of Donald Trump. And it showed up in California the other day, just a couple days ago here. These two kindergarten age boys, they're 5 and 6 years old. In fact, I'm going to give you their names because you need to pray for these two boys. They were shot at a Christian school. The one is Elias Wolford, and the other one, Roman Mendez, 5 and 6 years old. One of them shot 3 times. The other one hit 1 time. Praise God, they have survived very critical surgeries to each of them, but they remain in critical condition, but they're at least stable. Pray for these boys. And what happened? Well, they're critical condition because they were shot by a maniac at the Feather River School of Seventh-day Adventists in Palermo, California. So the guy that took them out, Glenn Litton, a maniac, I can accuse him of it because he did everybody a favor and turned the gun on himself and shot himself. So he's dead. Why waste time with a trial? Thanks, Glenn, for doing it to yourself. This guy takes a tour of the school with the school administrators, faking it and pretending to be a grandparent for a child who was interested in attending the school. But somewhere in a very short time after the tour, he goes to the parking lot, then turns around, starts firing on the playground, hitting these two boys. And why? What is the reason? What was his rage? Because it was revenge, supposedly, for Gaza genocide. You see what I mean? Gaza genocide, which wasn't a genocide. I support everything Israel's done in Gaza. Maybe they probably need to do more if I were in charge, but I'm not. But how does this individual protest the alleged Gaza genocide? He goes out with a gun and tries to kill Christians. Christians. I'm telling you, we will be at the alleged fault of everything going forward because we were the ones that significantly participated in putting Donald Trump in office. And now we are all fair game. Whether it's by rifles, shotguns, whether it's lawfare, whether you name it. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Robin Walter with Red Sky Radio, The Robin Walter Show.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
The Shy Lights, I love that song. You know, there's a Bible passage that said that there's, in essence, there's no such thing as the good old days. Don't think back that the former times were better than these. I get that. I understand. Every time has had its challenges. You know, when the Shy Lights sang this song, which is probably what, I don't know, about 1970 or so. I'm not really sure the year. We had other problems. We did. I don't need to go into it. But you know what? I hear some of these songs and I think, gosh, you know what? There was kind of a time where there's a song about a guy who's heartbroken because he's lost his girl. Anybody? Have you seen her? Now, at my age, I can no longer sing this falsetto, but I used to be able to sing this right with that guy. You couldn't tell that lead singer from me. I'm not patting myself on the back, but I did have a good falsetto before I had COVID. And I kind of took away some of it. I'm hoping and asking God to bring it back. But sometimes I have to tell you, I kind of long for some things in the past. And that was one of them. Okay. Back to reality. Back to today. Okay, so we are in the crosshairs of the left. The Christians, and always, Mark Elias has made it known. Others have made it known. It's very clear. And the degree to which the left loves violence, and they do, the degree to which they love death, abortion, right up to the time of birth, sometimes they're okay with just letting a botched abortion where the child survives it, just let the kid die on the table. They love death. They're animated by Satan. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. And whether it's abortion, whether it's euthanasia, whether it's the mental and spiritual rape and gender mutilation of children, they're all about death and destruction. Now, the reason I mention this is I never watched Jon Stewart. I'm not interested in Stephen Colbert. I'm not interested in any of these late night talk show hosts, mostly because I'm in bed like 2 hours before these schmoes even come on. And I don't want it. Why listen to what they have to say? Why sit there and listen to everything that you know is false? But Jon Stewart, in his daily show, when he referenced that the United Healthcare shooting suspect, if you saw him on TV, he looks and sounds demon-possessed, that he had been captured, the audience broke out in an enormous boo. The audience was booing like crazy because the killer was captured. There was no hurrah for a cold-blooded, premeditated, first-degree murder, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know why they charged him the second degree. It's first degree. So he was lying in wait. It was planned. It's premeditated. But why are they cheering? For, in essence, the death of this CEO. Why? I mean, one of the laments here is that there are no sleuths. that have been involved. Now, I didn't know about this till I read about it just in this last week. But there are people that are really good at sleuthing crimes, figuring out the whodunits. And there are a couple of them that are so good, and they've got such a following that different police departments have contacted these individuals, say, help us find the killer. Well, what is different? I mean, these people, it is a passion for the people that are into the sleuthing. I kind of get it. I mean, I'm not a big murder mystery fan, but I sort of understand the intrigue. But there's something different this time. People lamented, there's no sleuths out there. There aren't people who give a rat's rear end about trying to find the cold-blooded killer of the UnitedHealthcare CEO. And why not? Why? What's the problem? It is because, apparently, a disproportionate number of these people are on the left and see UnitedHealthcare as, you know, maybe they're a bad insurance company. Maybe healthcare is going down the tank. I haven't needed much, so praise God, I seem to be okay, and the stuff that I've needed is I've been taken care of fine. But somehow, they seem to be supportive of an absolutely cold-blooded execution of an innocent man. This is the left's obsession with violence at all levels. I mean, I just can't even imagine people cheering on the death of the cold-blooded execution of a man and cheering that on, or booing when it's announced that the killer has been captured, unless you are just really incredibly wicked at the core of your heart. I mean, I have to think about this. Would I be publicly cheering for the death of, let's pick somebody. I don't care who it is. Let's do Mayorkas. We picked on him earlier. Not publicly. There is a passage in the scripture that says that the righteous rejoice, that when the wicked are dead, they die. When the wicked are dead and die, that the righteous people shout for joy. They rejoice. I don't have it in front of me. I think it's Psalm 11 or Proverbs 11. I'm not really sure. I wasn't planning to mention that. But it doesn't mean we're thrilled at it. If we are rejoicing, it's because we are relieved of a burden that somebody has imposed. We aren't relieved and rejoicing at their death for death's sake or that they're going to hell. No, God says he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God doesn't want to see anybody go to hell. Nor do I. Nor does anybody else who would, though spiritually be okay, feeling a huge relief and a measure of satisfaction that some person is no longer alive who is oppressing them. Did we cheer the death of Adolf Hitler? Absolutely. How about the Munchkins cheering on the death of the Wicked Witch of the West, or the East, I think it was? Yeah, we all cheered with the Munchkins. Because she was dead? No. Because she was in hell? No. But because we were relieved of the burden. And that's why I can say that there's a whole host of people, if they died, I would probably, please isn't the right word, I'd be relieved, and I would say, yeah, I'm actually happy, I'm thrilled they're gone, I'm just not thrilled that they're in hell. I'm thrilled to be relieved of the oppression and demonic influence that these people have had on innocent people, and especially when it comes to children, which is what we are coming up to here in a minute. But this is a case with today's left. They're proud to be joyous about cold-blooded death. Now, I know that they would rejoice if Donald Trump was assassinated, But they don't even know this guy, this United Healthcare CEO. I mean, there's, I got to quit with that because I got to be able to finish what I got going here. But the fact of the matter is, this is just this degree of violence, which is all from the left, is not slowing down. Take Nancy Mace here the other day. So she's attacked on Capitol Hill, and she ends up with an arm brace and so forth by a guy who's been arrested, praise God. But he's some LGBTQRSTUVD. TUVWXYZAA++, whatever, queer tranny activists. Trannies are mentally bonkers. They're gone. They need deliverance, and if they're not open to deliverance, they need some sort of mental health and therapy because they're screwed up. And as I've said before, I've had no one take issue with what I've said, and I will stand on it. Trannies are simply queers who cannot handle their lust for the same sex and thereby presume that they must be a different gender. And so they go to the other side to be the other gender, which then justifies, supposedly, their sexual desire for what they now conclude to be the opposite sex, even though they're the same sex. Tell me what tranny out there, some guy who thinks he's a girl, tell me what tranny is not going to need a prostate exam by the time they're 40. And I could just go down. I mean, you know what? It's ridiculous to spend the time on it. It's so obvious, but it doesn't seem to be obvious to a whole bunch of people. Well, fortunately, this whack job got arrested that attacked Nancy Mace. But this is where the left is. It is just simply, I wouldn't say it's out of control as though that's something new. They've always been in control, but they've just been in control by the devil. That's who writes their agenda. Well, let me just give you one other example here. This is just how sick they are. And we're still dealing with the sexual debauchery here. So the whole tranny business that they still try to push more quietly. We got 15,000 trannies in the military. You got, what's his name, Bruce Transgender wanting to run for governor in California and a ridiculous number of Republicans wanting to support Bruce Transgender. I can call him whatever the heck I want. I'm not going to use the name he's taken on. I'm going to call him. But and my wife met him many years ago. And she said, you know, back when he was Bruce Jenner. But now I call him Bruce Transgender. She said this guy was weird. He was at some function for the company she worked for. And he was there to, I don't know, for people to hobnob, and they brought in this big name to probably increase attendance at the function, which is what they do. Because the guy was weird. He was weird before he went the other direction, which tells you a lot about him, I guess. But this is criminal. In a recent letter to the National Institute of Health director, Dr. Monica Bertagnoli, Marco Rubio here is calling attention to the fact that an NIH, National Institute of Health, funded study by a Dr. Johanna Olson Kennedy of the Center for Trans Youth Health and Development at Children's Hospital of Los Angeles. Why don't they call it trans youth death, dismemberment, and disability? I realize those are insurance terms for you guys that are familiar with that. But the Obama administration, they wanted to support this Olson Kennedy's study. This was 9 years ago. But the findings were never released. So we got a study that cost $6 million on trying to determine to what extent that this, quote, gender-affirming care is successful. But we never heard about it. Here the writer says, quote, this case is about a team of purported healthcare providers who collectively decided that a vulnerable girl struggling with complex mental health struggles and suffering from multiple instances of sexual abuse should be prescribed a series of life-altering drugs at age 12 and removal of her breasts at age 14. This is a girl by the name of Kaya Clementine Breen, who is suing UCLA, and I hope UCLA is basically done. Defund UCLA. Defund the hospital that supports this stuff. They're suing them because they did not release the report, which if she knew about, she would have never undergone this. Because this woman is considered the most influential youth gender transition physician in America. And she has just come out and admitted that she hid the results of the federally funded $6 million study, of which she made a ton, all from our tax dollars, that totally failed to find any mental health improvements from the so-called bogus gender-affirming care. And in fact found that at least a quarter of the children, at least, that had received these, quote, medical treatments for transitioning were now experiencing depression and suicidal tendencies. The findings would not be usable to show gender-affirming care has any basis in fact, but they were hidden. For 9 years they were hidden, and she's the expert lying and hiding about it, and now we have kids that have had this treatments, and their lives ruined, genitals removed, puberty blockers, breasts eliminated. The woman needs to go to prison, and that would be a good result. That's a kind result, life in prison. I know I say it often, but that passage from the book of Matthew, it's better than a millstone be tied around your neck and be cast into the depths of the sea than to lead one of these children astray. And that's exactly what this woman has done. Now, the things that the left is coming up with, I want to use this as an example, as my last story. That this involves a pastor who's actually also a realtor. In fact, he's a real estate broker. Most states, I think in the state I'm in here in Arizona, I think you have to be a member of the National Association of Realtors. I know that some firms, like Century 21 and others, they require you to join the National Association of Realtors to work for their firm. I know they do, and some others. I don't know if they all do, but this is just a case, one case study, because it's going to affect anybody and everybody. It'll affect me as a lawyer. Maybe that's why I'm getting licensed in so many states, because after I get booted from one state, I'll still have maybe a couple more to be able to practice for violating the queer code, and that is you cannot speak the truth about queerdom. So what happened to this guy? Well, he's already trying to backpedal, and that's too bad because I hate it when people try to walk back what they've said. Say what you mean, what you say, and just leave it there. But he came out and said, look, I don't hate anyone for what I said. I love all people. All people are God's creation. I've never directed any of my comments and scriptures towards any particular individual. But reading here, he's a Virginia real estate broker. By the name of Wilson Fauber, F-A-U-B-E-R. He's a real estate broker. So he's facing losing his license and paying a hefty fine because of a Facebook post where he quoted a Bible verse about homosexuality. In other words, he posted the truth, but even if it was truth, all he did was exercise his First Amendment right. On February 13th, 2015, 10 years ago, he reposted a Franklin Graham post citing a verse in the Bible and added a commentary from his own perspective as a pastor. Said, after 44 years in the business with a clear record, Fauber has learned that the National Association of Realtors received one ethics complaint about him earlier in the year for something he said online 10 years ago. And you probably know the passage, right? It's a famous one, Leviticus 18:22. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. End of story. True. It is an abomination. So in this case, the Virginia Association of Realtors, they had a hearing regarding the complaint. So if they find him guilty of an ethics violation for speaking the truth about queerdom and sodomy, he could be fined not less than $5,000, not more than $15,000. And that's what he would have to pay to keep his license. If he doesn't kowtow to the queer gurus, then, and doesn't pay it, he loses his livelihood. If he wins the thing with the Virginia Association of Realtors, the National Association of Realtors can appeal the ruling to make sure this guy is bounced for quoting the Bible on Facebook, with under the pretense that anyone who speaks the truth about sodomy and queerdom, this is the NAR, is, quote, unworthy of a real estate license. They don't have to remove them from the so-called membership. So let me understand this. So if you speak out against murder, rape, incest, bestiality, all of them condemned by the Bible, just like sodomy is condemned, then what you can lose? Is that an ethics violation? You're unworthy of a real estate license? Maybe I'll be unworthy of a law license? Maybe you'll be unworthy of an electrician's license? As these individuals infect and affect various trade unions and organizations to bring them over to the woke agenda, which is not being restricted, it's expanding, more and more of us will be at fault for simply citing the Bible. And the way they will try to intimidate you and me is threaten or take away our license to do whatever it is that we want to do. Medicine, dentistry, real estate, law. But it could be electrician. It could be whatever. I have a builder's license for construction. Well, you're not hiring enough queers. And you're not hiring trannies on the job. You lose your license. Well, just going to have to work without a license, aren't we? But all these other things that the Bible condemns, if we said that are we unworthy because of a real estate license, because we detest and come out against incest and bestiality? Now understand that in Virginia, this is a state matter, not federal. And the National Association of Realtors, often designated as the body with whom you will comport to the rules by the states, makes it a nationwide matter. But it's not a federal matter, but it's a trade organization. But understand, you can't expect Donald Trump to bail you out here. Number one, he can't. Why? Because it's a state matter, and it's not a government matter. And number two, I hate to say this, he won't. Because actually, when it comes to queerdom and those issues, he's actually on the wrong side. We elected him for other reasons, and he's not as supportive of queerdom and sodomy nearly as much as the Democrats are. Definitely not supportive of trannyism. But he's not entirely on our side, but he couldn't do anything about it anyway. All of this to say today, and wrapping this up, we are not done. We have not. This is not the political nirvana that we might think that it is. We have not arrived in heaven because we got Donald Trump elected as president. The fact of the matter is, possibly the worst part of the war is yet to come, because they're not only after him any longer. As Mark Elias said, we're after him, and we're after the Republicans, and we're after the whole mega agenda. And yeah, you know what? For the genocide in Gaza, we'll shoot some kids at a Christian school. We will be the enemy for everything. Just know that you've been forewarned. But nonetheless, sit tall on the saddle, America. Ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you next week.